I didn't see Christine. Christine.
Christine.
Okay. Did she give an indication if she was appearing?
No.
One more minute. And we're at 9 o'clock. We'll call to order the meeting of the Constable Ethics Standards and Training Board. It's December 14th of 2023. Ms. Chen, hopefully everybody's had a good Thanksgiving, and we're here for our last meeting of the year. And I do appreciate everybody's participation over this last year and all the hard work everybody has put in. Ms. Chen, could you do a roll call, please?
Yes. Constable Hogarth?
Present.
Member Beckett?
Here.
Constable Kennedy?
Here.
Member Giordano?
Here.
And then Chairman?
I'm here. Thank you very much. So we do have a quorum this morning. Given that, we'll move on to item B, and that's any announcements. I don't have any announcements this morning. Does anybody else have anything they would like to say prior to us getting going? Hey, second call. Anybody have any announcements? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item C. We do have the minutes from the previous meeting. I hope everybody did have a chance to go over those. Thank you, Ms. Chen, for getting that prepared and this packet out for us to review in a lot of time prior to the meeting this month. Everybody had a chance to review the minutes on that? Do I have a motion on the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I so move to approve the meeting minutes.
Okay, we have a first from Ms. Kennedy. Do we have a second?
This is that motion.
I believe that was Ms. Beckett. We had a little feedback there. Am I correct, Ms. Beckett? That was you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. We do have a first and a second. Any further discussion on the minutes? Okay, all those in favor of approving the minutes, vote in the affirmative.
Aye.
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 Anybody against? Okay, minutes are approved. Thank you. So now we'll take this time to do a call to the public. If anybody in the public would like to address the board, we'll have 2 minutes to do so, so that we can keep the meeting on track today. Keep in mind, the members of the board can't discuss the items that aren't already on the agenda. So unless there's something that has to do with directing staff to study the matter, respond to any criticism that may be asserted, or even scheduling the matter for a future date, there will not be any board response to that. Is there anybody in the public who would like to take that opportunity to address the board?
Mr. Chair, Nathan Wallace.
Thank you. Constable Wallace, so I'm gonna go ahead, give me 1 second to get my timer going.
Won't need it.
Well, I don't know, I've heard you before, Constable Wallace. You might promise that, but it might not come true. So, you have 2 minutes to start. Go ahead, sir.
I would just like to thank the board for their service this year and wish you all a happy holidays.
All right, I take it back. Constable Wallace was successful in getting that under 2 minutes. Would anybody else like to address the board? Okay, second call. Would anybody in the public like to address the board? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item E, and that's the presentation of the financial report by the staff. I did intend to pull this, as I was told that there was not a financial report today. Ms. Cheney, could you address the non-financial report?
Yes, I still need to work through some adjustments. Those are the pending claims with our financial report, so it will be completed by next meeting, along with this month's financial report for next month.
Given that, does anybody have any questions for Ms. Chandy regarding the financial report? Okay, hearing none, we can move on to item F, and that's discussion and possible action on the ACA training from July. Included in the board packet was previous minutes on this matter. Specifically, the minutes from August 10th, and that we, that's the last time that we did take this up. I'm sorry, who, is somebody speaking? All right, so if you're not, if you're not being, if you don't have the floor, if we could take the opportunity to go ahead and mute, I'd be more than happy to address you if you would like to speak at some point, but if we could mute in the meantime, I would appreciate that. Just to go back, Constable Blake did present to the board, and this was back in August, that AZ Post no longer approved the training for the conference, and Member Giordano did correct, he corrected stating that the classes will continue to be approved, but will not approve this training, as the training had occurred by the time the training request was received by Post. My take on it at that time is that the training would have been approved through the board through the grant. Since we approved the grant, that we would have made that approval by approving that. And Member Hogarth did agree at that time. But it has come back up as far as getting that approval done. The part that I do note is in the statute, the 137, it does say that the constables will attend the post training and additional trainings can be approved by the board. So if there's any discussion or questions to be had, if we need to direct those to any members that are, anybody who is appearing today, please let me know if you'd like to do so. I don't hear, I did have a few questions myself. Regarding this, I just want to make sure we're very clear on how this transpired. Mr. Giordano, as far as the post approval on this, I know it was a, it sounds like it was a time issue. Would that be correct?
That would be correct, Mr. Chairman. And if I could just give a little bit of a backstory on how we've changed the way we address training and approve training. Definitely. Historically, Arizona Post would work with third-party vendors as well as different agencies to review the material, to review the instructor's qualifications, and then we would put our stamp of approval on it. However, we didn't attend the training. We didn't sit through the sessions. So I felt like it wasn't, it was disingenuous for us to say, we approved this training. So we got out of that business. We now push that responsibility back on the agencies, peace officer agencies, that are providing continuing training or allowing instructors to come in and teach continuing training. So we've gotten out of that. So currently, if an Arizona, currently certified Arizona Post peace officer submits training requests to us pursuant to our audit process for their annual requirements, we accept anything that their chain of command, their agency has approved. However, since the statute is very clear in that Arizona Post will approve constable training, we will continue to do that for the constables. We will continue to do that every year. The concern we have and the concern which we've communicated to the ACA is that we have a really hard time and I'm uncomfortable with approving training after the training has been provided to the students. We've communicated that extensively, and we use this July conference as our drop dead date of, if you don't have it submitted to us, the materials that we've requested, we have had a chance to review it and we have approved it before the training is provided. We will not approve training after the fact. And that's where we decided to draw the line just because it's such an unusual circumstance. So yeah, that in a nutshell, that's where we're at today, but we will continue to approve training as long as it's provided to us in enough time to approve it, review it before the training is provided to the constable themselves.
And I do remember some of that approval process because I remember as being one of the instructors at it. I did have to submit quite, I don't know if it was the July conference or even the January before that, but it was pretty thorough on what Post did ask of the trainers as far as qualifications, materials, lesson plans, things such as that. So I know that was very thorough. I can't quite recall the timeline that occurred on that. Did you get a chance to look at the training that was done in July though, even though you didn't approve it, it was after the fact. Did you get a chance to look at it?
I did not, sorry.
Okay. President Blake, did the training that was done in July, was that, were the classes any different than what was previous?
No, not really.
So there might have been some variation?
There could have been some variation because, you know, new constable training is very different than training that may take place at another, training event outside of that. We try to cover different topics, but repeating those topics year after year.
Anybody, given that discussion, anybody on the board have any questions or any motion to put out regarding getting the approval of this training? So I'm not hearing anything there. I'd like to put this this matter to rest so we don't have to revisit it again coming up in the future. I'm unsure if our approval of that would suffice the statutory requirement. It does say that we can approve, but it also says that the consuls need to do the post training as well. As far as the board is concerned, I would like to put out a motion that we do accept the training that was put on in July for the constables. That's with the caveat that I don't know if that would actually suffice statute, but I'm comfortable with the training that was done. So I would like to give a motion to give our approval to the training that was performed in July.
Chairman Dowling, Constable Hogard, I would second that motion. I thought that we had kind of approved it earlier anyway, when it was brought up that there wouldn't be post certificates, but the ACA would be able to issue a certificate showing the training for the different classes.
So I do have a second to give our approval. Let me put it out for discussion. And I know that Constable Hogard just did give a little bit of discussion to that. Would anybody else like to provide anything further? Any further discussion? Okay, so on this matter, Ms. Cheney, could you do a roll call vote for us?
Yes. Constable Hogard?
Aye.
Member Beckett?
Aye.
Constable Kennedy?
Aye.
Member Giordano?
Aye.
And Chairman Dowling?
I'm glad I'm staying. I'd be. All right, thank you, everybody. Hopefully that has been put to rest on the board's position on that. We don't need to revisit that matter again in the future. Okay, as far as item G is concerned, there were no grant applications for the monthly grant for the vacancies. So we don't have anything to cover there. Just want to make sure that, as usual, that we do make it clear to the members of the public that do interact with us that that is available. If the counties, if they do get appointments, I would just want to keep saying it that grant is available to get some equipment to new constables that do come in a fairly expeditious manner so that they don't have to wait till the regular grant cycle comes. So item H, that's the presentation, discussion, and possible action on the organizational firearms training grant. Constable Blake, would you like to present anything on this prior to going to the board?
We appreciate the opportunity to have access to these funds for firearms. We are including this year, Maricopa County is going to participate with us. So this is a statewide training for all constables who need firearms training.
Do we have any questions for Constable Blake?
Mr. Chair, this is Matt. My question, so you're including Maricopa County?
You have the floor, Matt. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. My question is, the proposal indicates 16 constables going through the training. Does that include the ones from Maricopa County, or will those be additional students in the class?
No, the 16 is including those in Maricopa County that need firearms training.
Okay, thank you.
Then I did have a question too, and then it was brought to my attention. There was a slight difference in numbers on this as the increase in the amount being requested didn't quite line up with the amount of consoles that are attending. The $47,000 for one extra person, Council Blake, can you address why there would be such an increase with just another extra person coming to this? And also the 70 hours part of this too, that seems like quite an intensive training.
Yes, so firearms training has changed. In the past, it was 50 hours. And now it is required that we do 70 hours of training. When you're going to, and we're doing 10-hour days, so basically you're adding two extra days to this, to the grant, which has never been written before this way. Because of that, you could get on most training facilities, whether it be Ben Avery or Maricopa County's Sheriff's Range. When it was 50 hours, you could get it done in 5 days. Because it's 7 days, most ranges, if not, and I looked to see if we could get seven straight days at any range and was turned down. So we actually have to have 7 days of training plus a weekend, and the constables, because they are coming from all over the state, I can't expect somebody to get up at like 2 o'clock in the morning, drive, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 hours, then sit through 10 hours of training. So we have to bring them in the day before. And the last day of training is 10 hours. Again, I can't expect them to jump in a car and then drive home. So we have to have 1 day, the next day in a hotel, so that they can drive home safely. And so that is why there is such an incredible increase in the expense for firearms training.
Not running the math on it, but it sounds like because it's the 7 days, it's actually 3 or 4 extra days of lodging that you didn't have to account for before. Is that an accurate statement?
That's an accurate statement.
And for 16 people to be lodged for 3 days, is that the biggest reason for the increase in the amount being requested?
It is. And we attempted to hold this at Ben Avery Shooting Facility. Ben Avery requested, or not requested, demanded that our insurance that covers the constables add Ben Avery Shooting Facility as a beneficiary. Shooting at Ben Avery would have made it centrally located to all the constables within the state, but it also increased the hotel stay because we're following per diem, and a hotel in Phoenix in February and March is higher than a hotel in Mojave County by more than double. As it turns out, I could not convince our insurance company to add Ben Avery Shooting Facility as a beneficiary. I actually shopped the insurance to see if we could get somebody who was willing to do that. Nobody was. So as of last week, we have now moved our training to Mojave County in Kingman, where the costs have significantly dropped because, like I said, a hotel in Kingman versus a hotel in Phoenix, I believe the difference is the one was 235 in Phoenix versus like 105 in Kingman, Mojave County. So the costs are going to drop based on the location and the facility that we have been able to secure for the training.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions about the firearms grants anybody, for Constable Blake especially?
Mr. Chairman, this is Member Beckett.
Yes, please, ma'am.
So has the training been, has it received prior AZ Post approval? Or is it AZ Post certified and approved?
Yes, we are following AZ Post's guidelines for the 70-hour training. We are specifically using their model that they that we have requested.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Matt. Yeah, the 70 hours is the exact curriculum that every officer gets in the basic academy.
Let me ask on the other side of that too. It went from, and when I did it, it was 40, and then it went to 50 that they were doing in Maricopa County. Now they're at 70. Did they increase the amount? And this is mostly for you, Matt, because you know this better than we do, is it's what you do every day. Was the classroom time and the instructional time increased? Is that the reason for the extra hours? So they have that knowledge that goes behind the responsibility of having the firearm, or was it more range time?
We redid the entire lesson plan, so it's more range time, it's more marksmanship, it's more classroom, it's a little bit of everything. I don't have the actual breakdown in front of me, but it was done in consultation with all of the master instructors' input from around the state.
I just say thank you, Post, for making it better. Does anybody have any questions, or would they like to make a motion on approving the grant?
Mr. Chairman, can I just make a comment? I don't have a question per se, but can I just make a comment?
Of course, sir. Go ahead.
I have raised this several times in the past. The way these grants are written from the ACA, I just don't care for them. I don't think they conform to state procurement guidelines. I just have several concerns related to some of the costs, some of the expenditure of state money. Again, I have abstained in the past on these grants because of my feelings, but I'm at a point now where I just want to make sure that we are staying above board, beyond reproach, when we issue these grants and we provide this state funding to the ACA to run these trainings. I am a huge proponent of training. I think this is wonderful that we're doing 70 hours of training. We're helping pay for 70 hours of training for constables to effectively and safely do their jobs. I'm concerned that we're not following state procurement guidelines. And to that end, I would recommend that until such time that we have an opportunity to maybe talk with the Auditor General to take a look at the way we do these grants and the way the money is spent, that we table this matter until we can be assured by the Auditor General that we're not in violation of any state procurement guidelines.
That we would be, or that the ACA would be?
Well, I think we would bear some of the responsibility since we are reviewing a grant provided by them and that we are providing them the money. I think we would have some liability, but I'm not an attorney, so I could be wrong. It's just a suggestion. That's all it is at this time.
No, and I do appreciate that. One thing I did neglect in the grant itself, what was the date on this, Constable Blake?
We wrote the grant as that it would be done in late February to early March, knowing that securing the facility was going to be, when you write a grant like this, it's extremely fluid. And so I have to have that grant completed oftentimes before I have secured the location because of the problem that we ran into with Ben Avery shooting facility. And so if you're going to switch to a different facility, you may not be offered the same openings because of people who have already booked the facility. And so this training is going to take place in mid-February.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, was there a specific part of the procurement of the grant that you had a concern with? I'm looking through it. I'm not seeing anything, but I'm not an expert on that either. And I defer to your opinion on that. Is there a specific part of the application that you're referring to?
It's some of the prior issues I've had is the way the grant is written, it's covering everything from start to finish for this class. So I just have a hard time understanding the $420 registration fee. I would assume that's nothing more than an administrative cost to the ACA. And I have a problem with that. I think that's exorbitant for a conference that's not being held. Everything else is covered in the expense of the grant. Just normal questions about where they're procuring their ammunition, the number of instructors to student ratios, I think is extremely high. And then keep in mind, anyone who travels to the class that's within 50 miles of the class is not allowed to recover per diem or lodging costs. So again, not knowing who the 16 people are, I think that's problematic. Because I don't know if we've ever done that before to confirm where that person works or where that person resides in relationship to where the training is being held. I just think some of the numbers might be off. I don't have them in front of me, but I think the personal vehicle reimbursement rate for mileage might be off from the state rate. I could be wrong there. There's just a couple ideas. Gear bags for students. I've never heard of a training providing gear bags for students. But again, that's just me. I just would like, I think we would give us an extra layer of security if we had the Auditor General take a look at how this money is being spent to ensure that there are no violations of any state procurement rules.
I mean, I do have a comment. Did anybody else have a question or anything they wanted to add to this?
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard.
Yes, sir, please.
I think firearms is a big liability for all of us in the state. And so I believe the training is very important. And I agree with Matt that I'm very pro training. If we want to get with procurement and go over things, I think that's fine. But I would suggest we go ahead with this grant and then look at future grants. Right now, we're running up, the class is actually set in Kingman in mid-February. If the class has to move to a different date, there's nothing that says we'll be able to get the range. I worked on getting the range set up, and it took me about a week and a half working with them to finally get having them give us that number of days, because it does get very busy out there, as most ranges do. I see liability stuff if we don't do the training. We've got officers that need to carry a firearm and have not got the training. So I would say we go ahead with this one. If we want to reevaluate with future grants by getting with procurement and seeing what they need, then we do that. But I would suggest, because we're only, what, we're 2 months away from this training. So I would suggest that we go ahead this time, and then if we want to get with procurement and reevaluate how things are done, then we can. But I would say go ahead with this one.
And I didn't hear the motion there. I did hear a motion, but I didn't quite hear a motion.
Okay, I make a motion.
Hold on 1 second. Let's keep discussion for one more second. Mr. Girona, what do you think about the ACA addressing any possible procurement issues and reporting back to us in a way that we find satisfactory, to understand that they're following those procedures rather than us doing that on our own?
If they were to get something from the Auditor General, I would be fine with that. I just think we need an independent set of eyes to review the documentation and the procurement process to make sure that we're in compliance. And the only other question I have is, Mike, just curious, you are the lead instructor for this class that's being talked about now, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. I want to make sure I read the grant proposal correctly. Thank you, sir.
Right.
Chair?
So, yes.
Yeah, this is Member Beckett. I hear, I fully agree with Matt Giordano on his concerns related to the administrative fee, related to the format in which we are asking grants to be submitted and the lack of detail and understanding, you know, where certain things are being purchased and who is being contracted. I know that within county procurement, there are many different areas of our particular grant format that would not met pass muster. I understand the timing concern. I understand the risk. However, I would hate for the board to be sanctioned for not doing their homework.
And it sounds like we all do have that. We all do share the concern that Mr. Donald put forward. I'd like clarity myself as far as the responsibilities between the grant writer and then us on this. But that does put back to the question, the value of having that training out there now on the short notice. I would think that to get the trainings priority, but at the same time, making sure it's done right is almost an equal priority on that. Just my opinion. So, any further discussion or a motion as far as approving this grant, given that wealth of information that we have just garnered?
Mr. Chair, is it appropriate to ask Constable Blake about the administrative fee, the origin of the ammunition, where it's being purchased? I'm assuming that all of the constables will be bringing their own firearms. If there is a standard firearm that's going to be used on the course, is there a way to get additional information during this meeting?
No, it's on the agenda, and I think that's a fantastic question, Ms. Beckett. Would you like to address that, Constable Blake?
Sure. In this case, our administrative fee is going to now pay for another instructor. There was a discussion on the fact that we have six people that were going to be firearms certified instructors. We did that based on the fact that this is a new course of fire. There is movement involved in this 70 hours of training. Before, you were standing static at a target, a paper target, and basically the only movement was in your arms, drawing your weapon. Now you are actually walking and shooting at the same time. We had in this grant, we have several of the firearms instructors are only being reimbursed for their hotel and the expense of their food. And we followed per diem guidelines on that. They're not, because they're getting paid by their county, we're not even paying them as in times past, where we had to find firearms instructors from different counties who were willing to give up 7 days of vacation time to come and teach this. We found out that one of the instructors did not pass his firearms to get in, to be a general instructor through post. So we're going to have to take the $420 per person and go and try to find somebody again. If we hold this in February, that's willing to give up now 9 days of their vacation time to come and be on the range to be an instructor. and to be a safety person, that's paramount when training, you know, these constables. Addressing the ammo bag is because this is a portable situation. This isn't going to a building and you go from that secured building to another, a place to shoot, to come back to receive instruction in a where you could sit down at a desk. The constable, each constable is required to move their own ammunition, targets, hearing protection, eye protection, their weapon, and anything else in the bag. They're shooting outside. They're going to carry water. Some may carry food in the location that they're shooting. It's very difficult to leave and go to lunch. They're going to be carrying that as well with them. And that's why we supply an ammo bag. And I feel that we have followed the guidelines with the grant. I mean, I'm answering the questions in the grant that is provided by CESTB. We haven't tried to hide or manipulate anything. It's all laid out as to how we're going to spend that money. And if we don't spend that money, it's not given to us. It's not like a free thing that we get to keep then. When we turn in our expenses, it is based exactly on what it cost us to put on that training. In closing, we need to be reminded that constables are afforded training through the $5 writ fee that's applied to every writ that's issued in the state of Arizona. And that's done so that we can receive training like this and that we are able to get the training, because let's face it, sometimes constables are treated like the ugly red-headed stepchild in the law enforcement community.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Ms. Beckett.
I would just like permission to respond.
Please.
Constable Blake, I hope that you know that I am not questioning the overall training program. My questions become whether or not the board's form that we ask you to fill out is meeting all of the standards, so that the information gathered within the application is meeting the state guidelines. I don't want you to think at any time that my questions are inferring that the ball is being hidden in any way. And I absolutely support firearms training. I think it is an absolute necessity in this environment.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Then I would feel that the onus would be on CESTB to change the form, if you will, the questions for us to answer, because it nowhere in that form does it say we're to follow any guidelines on state procurement. We follow them because, in all honesty, I write most of the grants for the ACA because I understand how to write the grants. Nobody else has even taken the time. And when they have in the past, the problem is they made so many mistakes that it took months to try to get, especially with the final expense report to get them to balance and to be correct. I would suggest then that the entire grant proposal questions be looked at by the state and changed, and you adopt those, and that we follow those guidelines, because I feel that we answer all the questions honestly and write down all of the expenses on our final report are done to the standards that have been set by the CESTB.
I didn't hear Ms. Beckett asked the question about the registration fee. There was there. You said that was to pay for instructors. Is that what I heard?
This time it is, because we, like I said, this is extremely fluid, and to try to find people that we thought were going to be there. And that maybe we're going to have to ask someone else possibly to come in. That money would be spent then on the instructor or instructors, if we have to find more than one who's willing to come in and I believe they're called a line safety officer. This is a total new course of fire. It is because of the movement in there. The Mike Hogard as the general instructor for this, as the person who's responsible to make sure that everyone is doing what they're supposed to do safely with firearms, could not possibly watch 16 shooters on a line. I watch how Maricopa County Sheriff's Office does this. I've watched Phoenix PD and how they do it. We are following those safety guidelines to make sure that we don't have any accidents and that people are being trained correctly and being safe while we're doing this.
And I did receive indication that our AG rep did review this previously, as far as how our grants were being put out, and it was deemed that the board was doing it appropriately at that time. We could revisit that with the AG to make sure that is on the board's end of that. That might be a suggestion to make sure that we are in compliance with everything we need to do for the state.
Probably good to just have him review it maybe every other year if the application changes.
Yes, and that was Ms. Levinas that state that I think that we need to make sure that we're doing everything correctly, because with our backgrounds we don't all have that same knowledge that Mr. Cardano and Ms. Beckett do as far as procurement issues with what we're doing. That's why I am so happy that we have such a diverse board in the way that it's set up, so we can get all of those opinions to make sure we are doing things correctly.
Mr. Chair, is this the open Q&A session about what we're looking at in front of us for Mr. Blake?
Yes, it is. That's what we're just having an open discussion and asking questions and making sure we have a good understanding.
Mr. Blake, are we capped out at 16 attendees, sir?
Well, we could try to get more people in there if we have the, we can't, I can't request more money from CESTB after the grant is written, and it specifically says that it will not exceed what I've asked for. If we spend more money than what I have requested in the grant, it would come directly out of the ACA and what we have in our checking account.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Blake.
And Ms. Beckett, I have a question for you. I believe you'd be the good one to answer it. So if we approve the grant for a certain amount, that would give the time for the review from Mr. Norris, maybe from Constable Blake. When they do actually ask for the total funds on that, that might give us the time to make sure that everything was followed in that. And that could be, I'm not saying it would be a detriment to the ACA, but that would give the time to make sure that anything we do actually sign would be the appropriate amount. Would I be accurate in say that there's a difference between the grant approval and then the actual payment of it? What do you think about that, Ms. Beckett?
Mr. Chair, I fully agree with that. I think we just need to ensure that our format has remained aligned with the state procurement office, and we have an opportunity to expand the form as needed or condense it to get all of the information that is needed. Should this grant be delayed as a result of us now taking a hard look at our form? In my opinion, no. But I do like the suggestion that we go ahead and seek out approval to ensure that we have all of the checks in the right boxes as it relates to the procurement requirements.
So as far as actually when they do submit their final to get reimbursed for it, by that time we should be in a spot to make sure that we're only giving out funds that are correct.
Agreed.
That was a very thorough discussion so far. Does anybody else have any questions for Constable Blake, any discussion matters to have or any motions to put forward on this?
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard.
I would note too that you were the lead on this, Constable Hogard, for this grant. So I did, maybe you, just a consideration since you do have that involvement, if you wanted to actually make any motions on this matter or have a recusal, just a food for thought.
Hey, answer your private phone. What's the matter?
Mr. Lopez, could you please mute?
Mr. Chair, I would make a motion to approve this grant. I thought maybe a motion had been made, but I'm in support of moving forward with approval.
Mr. Chair, Constable Kennedy, I'll make that second.
Okay, we have a first from Ms. Beckett, second from Ms. Kennedy. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, we'll take the vote on this. Ms. Chandy, if you could do a roll call.
Yes. Member Beckett?
Aye.
Constable Kennedy?
Aye.
Member Giordano?
Nay.
Constable Hogard?
Yes.
I can understand.
One more time, Constable Hogard.
I'll abstain on this one because of my involvement with it.
Chairman Dowling?
So for well, it looks like I do need to vote on this one as with the numbers on this. So I'm gonna vote in the affirmative on this. However, given that I will check with counsel moving forward prior to submitting any funds being distributed on this matter. Okay. So motion passes. All right, so then we'll move into item I. And that is a discussion of possible action on complaints. Thank you. I see we don't have Mr. Jacob with us today, but I do appreciate his work that he did put in to getting all these complaints worked out for to give us a good presentation on this. I'm not sure where we would be right now if we didn't have the investigator doing such a great amount of legwork on this. First one, we have CNA 345-2023. It's Cindy Crick as the complainant, Roger Curtis as the constable. So I'll put this matter to the board on any action to be taken regarding CNA 345-2023.
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard.
Yes, sir.
I've read through this, and it looks like, looking at Mr. Jacobs' investigation, there's a possibility of possible felony or misdemeanor charges in here. I would make motion that this be sent to the Apache County Attorney's Office and let them look at it.
So we have a motion to refer this to the county attorney in Apache County. Do we have a second?
I'm sorry, this is Matt, Mr. Chairman. Second that.
Okay, and then we have a second from Mr. Giordano. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, Ms. Chandy.
Yes. Member Beckett?
Aye.
Constable Kennedy?
Aye.
Member Giordano?
Aye.
Constable Hogarth?
Aye.
Chairman Dowling?
Abstain. Okay, so that does pass. We will get the letter ready and send that over to the county attorney's office. Thank you, Constable Hogarth, for clarifying it was Apache. I thought it was Navajo. So thank you very much. CNA 347-2023, Darlene Martinez is the constable. Complaint is Mr. Doug Miller. So to the board, please.
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogarth.
Yes.
After looking at Mr. Jacobs' investigation, it appears that there were misleading statements filed with the board. And there may have been at least a couple of misdemeanors. So my motion on this one would be to refer it to the Maricopa County Attorney and let them make a decision on whether they want to file charges or dismiss.
Okay, so we have another motion to refer to the county attorney's office. Thank you, Constable Hogarth.
Mr. Chair, this is Member Beckett.
Yes, ma'am.
I believe there was a previous incident with Constable Martinez with respect to conflict of interest. Is staff able to confirm that and the action that was taken? My memory isn't what it used to be.
None of ours are. Ms. Chandy?
I don't have that information with me at the moment, but if you give me a few minutes, I can pull it up.
Okay. I would note that it is in the report made by Mr. Jacobs that I do recall that he said 20 days prior that the board did issue a warning to Ms. Martinez regarding any conflicts of interest. So this was somewhat immediately after the board did take action for him.
And for that reason, I would make a motion that the board would consider a more progressive disciplinary action against Constable Martinez in addition to referring the matter to the county attorney's office.
Ms. Mahogany, I'm going to go to your parliamentary expertise that you have on this. So we had a motion from Constable Hogarth to refer it. Would we need a second? Would we need a second prior to making any amendment to that?
Because his motion is on the board on the floor, sir. Ms. Beckett needs to. Yeah, we already have a motion on the floor.
Yeah, so we would need a second prior to making any amendment on it.
Unless he wants to remove his motion and let Ms. Beckett go and second hers.
I'm so glad you're here, Mahogany. Constable Hogarth.
I would pull mine and go with a motion from Ms. Beckett.
Okay, so Ms. Beckett, you're saying to have a more progressive action. Would you like to specify that if it would be the county attorney and reprimand and probation, or would you like to specify what your motion is?
Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion to refer this matter to the county attorney's office in addition to placing the constable on probation for up to 30 days.
Okay, so we have a motion to refer to the county attorney as well as placing Ms. Martinez on probation for 30 days. We have a second to that.
Constable Hogarth, I'll second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Channing?
Yes. On the last case involving Constable Martinez, there was action taken. It was a letter of admonishment.
Okay, so there was an admonishment, not a warning. So, but we do have a first and a second, and we are ready to take roll call.
Member Beckett?
Aye.
Constable Kennedy?
Abstain.
Member Giordano?
Aye.
Constable Hogard?
Aye.
Chairman Dowling?
Aye. Okay, motion passed. Okay, so now we're going to move into the Pima map, the Pima County matters. I know some of these overlap with what we're looking at. I think it is appropriate to take them one at a time, though, as we do go through. The first is CNA 361-2024. The constable is Eric Kuznarich, and the complainant.
360.
But did I say it wrong?
You were on number four. We're on number three.
Oh, that's right. It's because those two were combined. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Chen. So it's 360-2024. It's William Lake Wright versus Oscar Vasquez. And we did get the report for 364 along with that. So this is two matters that we do have the same report on, just to be clear regarding that. So regarding the 360 case, William Lake Wright versus Oscar Vasquez. So let's put that one to the board for any discussion or motions, please.
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard.
Yes, sir.
I've read all of these and it's a convoluted mess. As far as 360, I would make a motion on this to refer it to the Pima County presiding judge. It seems like he might have a way of settling the problems between his constables down there.
So we have the motion referred to the presiding judge of Pima County. Do we have a second to that, or perhaps a different motion that we'll go back to that same process we did on the previous one with Constable Hart if we need to? What's the board think? Calling for a second. Okay, so we don't have a second for that. Does anybody else have a motion they would like to make regarding Mr. Vasquez's 360 case? Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, this is Matt. I apologize. I would second the motion made by Mr. Hogard. Constable Hogard. Sorry, sir.
And so we'll chalk that up to technological difficulties. Thank you for jumping in and clarifying that, Mr. Giordano. Okay, so we do have a first and a second. Do we have any other discussion? And I don't know how the board is going to feel about this, but I would move to actually amend that. We have been in the history with Mr. Vasquez for, he's been placed on probation several times before. He's been asked to resign several times. There's been several times where we've actually referred to this, the board recommending suspension on this matter. So I would move to amend this to that we do ask Constable Vasquez to resign again, that we do send this to the presiding judge. And we do recommend to the Board of Supervisors that they suspend without pay.
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard, I would second that amendment.
Okay, so that we do have the motion on the table for those three factors. Any further discussion on the 360 case? All right, hearing none, Ms. Chaney, could you do a roll call on that?
Yes. Member Beckett?
Aye.
Constable Kennedy?
That's an aye to support Chairman Dowling's motion.
Thank you.
Member Giordano?
Aye.
Constable Hogard?
Aye.
Chairman Dowling?
Aye. Thank you. So motion passes. We'll get that letter prepared. CNA 361, and that is William Lake Wright versus Eric Kuznarich. So to the board members, and I would say I'm going to go back to just my start of a discussion. I can go back to the previous complaint. It seems to be the nexus of all the other issues that have come uptown in Pima County. So that's my part of discussion that I'll add to this before we get going. So to the board, anybody discussion or motions on this matter?
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard.
Yes, sir.
We got several of these that looks like is actually comes down to nonfeasance of office. You're an elected official in a precinct, but you're also elected for the county. I would make a motion on this once again. I hate to throw things back on the presiding judge, but the presiding judge may be able to get a handle on this, but this is nonfeasance of office. Refer to the county attorney or the presiding judge in Pima County.
Tell me if I heard something right. Are you taking that same stance for 361, 362, 364, and 365?
Yes.
So we do have the motion to refer all of those matters to the presiding judge of Pima County from Constable Hogard. We have a second?
Constable Kennedy, second.
And we do have a second from Constable Kennedy. Any discussion from the board prior to my comment on that? Hearing none. Yes, as I was reading these, it just seems like these are professionals who are elected to do something. It seems like there needs to be a grown up in the room as they do work through this. And I don't think that this board can fix what is going on down there. But that is, I think that would be appropriate also to send to the presiding judge. That is my discussion point on this matter. Anybody else have anything to add? You lit up on the screen, Ms. Kennedy. Does there make sure we didn't miss you?
No, sir. Nothing.
Okay. Ms. Chan, we take a vote for 361, 362, 364, and 365. The reverse of the presiding judge.
Member Beckett?
Aye.
Constable Kennedy?
Aye.
Member Giordano?
Aye.
Constable Hogard?
Aye.
Chairman Dowling?
Aye. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Motion passes. We will get the letter prepared to send that over to the presiding judge of Pima County. And we do have CNA 366-2024. The complainant is Ann Williamson, and Denise Garcia is the constable on this. We did further this for investigation. Thank you again to Investigator Jacobs on that. So to the board, please.
Chairman, before you proceed, was there, yes, number 6363-2024.
Oh, my apologies. I know it's going to go out of order then, but we'll go back to the, Ms. Chaney did inform me that I did miss one there. So let's handle Ms. Garcia's and then we'll move back to the 363-2024 case.
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard.
Yes, sir.
In reference to 366, Williamson and Garcia, after looking at Mr. Jacobs' investigation. I would make a motion to dismiss.
So we do have a motion to dismiss the 366-2024.
Constable Kennedy, second.
We have a second from Constable Kennedy. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Channing, could we do a roll call, please?
Yes. Member Beckett?
Aye.
Constable Kennedy?
Aye.
Member Giordano?
Aye.
Constable Hogard?
Aye.
And Chairman Dowell?
Abstain. And then my apologies for missing that 363. I did have it in, I had it in my same packet with the previous complaint that we did have there. So this is Eric Kuznarich versus Oscar Vasquez. Does anybody on the board have any action or discussion they want to have on that matter?
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard.
Yes, sir.
Being as this one is actually tied right back to CNA 360, I would make a motion that the same motion that we had for 360. I think you had an amendment on it also.
Yes, and just to restate what that was a referral to the county attorney, the presiding judge, the board of supervisors for suspension without pay, as well as resignation.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a second?
Constable Kennedy, second.
So we have a first and a second. Do we have further discussion prior to taking the vote? Hearing none, Ms. Chandy?
Member Beckett?
Aye.
Constable Kennedy?
Aye.
Member Giordano?
Aye.
Constable Hogard?
Aye.
Chairman Dowling?
Abstain. Thank you, everybody. We'll move on to the initial screening of new complaints. The first one that we do have is 373-2024. And my apologies, I don't know how to pronounce the name. It's either George's or George's, I believe, is the complainant, and Constable Chisholm is the constable in question. So hopefully everybody didn't have a chance to see that. As this is an initial, just a reminder, it only takes one vote from the board to move it forward. However, we will take a roll call to see where each member stands as far as moving it forward is concerned. So do we have any motions to move this matter forward?
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogard.
Okay. Yes, is that an affirmative or you want to talk?
I'd like, just to save time, we've got two of them, 373 and 374. I'd like to just move both of them forward.
Okay, so we do have the one member that would like to move both of those forward, so we do have enough to move it forward. So let's go ahead and put both of these on the table at the same time. Is there anybody that wants to have any discussion regarding either one of those complaints? Okay, so it will move forward by the indication of Constable Hogard. Ms. Chaney, could you take a roll call? And this is just for the 373 only to see where the board stands on that one.
Member Beckett?
Aye.
Constable Kennedy?
Aye.
Member Giordano?
Aye.
Constable Hogard?
Aye.
Chairman Dowling?
Abstain. Okay, and then if we could do the same roll call for the 374 case with Luke Palmer as the constable and Constable Wallace as the complainant.
Member Beckett?
Aye.
Constable Kennedy?
Aye.
Member Giordano?
Aye.
Constable Hogard?
Aye.
Chairman Dowling?
Abstain. Okay, thank you. Moving on to item J. So, Ms. Chandy, the floor is yours. Have you administrative update.
There are no updates for this month.
Has there been any movement on getting our last spot filled?
There has not been. I'm still working on getting in touch with them, moving things along. So it's been a slower process. So that is still a work in progress.
Anybody have any questions for Ms. Chandy?
Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry, who's speaking?
Mr. Chair, this is Steve Jacobs.
Oh, Steve, you're here. Okay, yeah, I guess you are part of the administration.
I just wanted to let you know, I apologize for being late. I'm in Central Texas. We were in a storm, and with the hour change, I just lost track. So I just did want to let you know I was here, and I did hear all but the first case. So if I could get Chandani to send me an email later to let me know the board decision on those matters, I would appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad you're here and you're in Texas. You say storms, I think tornadoes and hail. It makes me happy that I live in Arizona.
I have nothing to add. I just wanted to apologize for being so late and let you know that I did catch the discussion on the cases.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. Any members have any questions about anything administrative? I know Ms. Chandy gave that to us. I consider Mr. Jacobs part of the administration too, if we have any questions for him. Okay, hearing none, as far as future agenda items and action items are concerned, it sounds like there might be one regarding what we talked about earlier with the ACA grant. So I'm gonna keep an ear to the ground on that one. And please, if there is something that the board wants, either say it now or please call me and ask to get it agendized if we do need to do that. Does anybody have anything now that they would want to see on the future agenda?
Mr. Chair, this is Constable Kennedy. Yes, although the CESTB five-year review was submitted in October, it has not been placed on the agenda for review, and they're not looking until maybe January or February. So you will have further updates from me as soon as that ball starts rolling. Once that ball starts rolling, that is going to be maybe a 9 to 12 month commitment from me so that we are in compliance.
Okay, well, if you do get to a point where you need it on the agenda, please ask, and thank you for that 9 to 12 month commitment.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Constable Kennedy, South Mountain Justice Court. Everybody, Merry Christmas, and I move to adjourn.
Okay, and I ditto those comments. Do we have a second to adjourn?
Constable Hogard, second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
And Merry Christmas, against? Y'all.
Yeah, well, and anybody against? All right, hey, Merry Christmas. Enjoy the families. Enjoy the holiday season and enjoy what you have. And we'll see each other again for a fresh start in January. Thank you.